We are on a mission in a new sermon series called Missions Possible, and we're taking this journey with Jesus to Jerusalem. And I got to tell you, it is a possible mission that's fulfilled. And we're doing this through the lens of Levi, this wonderful gospel that presents to us such a chronological narrative of the events of Jesus' life. And it's so wonderful to sit there and to read, and it's a page-turner as we read about the parables that Jesus shared, the healings that took place, and the miracles that transpired. It is truly breathtaking and astonishing. And there's a lot that we could take away from the life of Christ. But one thing that I want us to focus on here for a few moments this morning is the idea of courage. If there's one thing you can say about this stunning story, it is the courage that Jesus had as he traveled this road. Now, no one ever wants to be called a coward, do they? It's one of the most despised human qualities. And we would do almost anything to avoid being called a coward. Do you remember back in your school days? And remember when somebody in school, another kid, would challenge you maybe to a dare, and you would do any dumb or dangerous thing just to be avoiding the word chicken? Nobody wanted to be called a chicken. We love courageous people, and yet we look down upon the cowardly. Every time you see a movie, it's generally the bad guys are the cowards, and the good guys are the courageous ones. And usually when we think of courage, we think of those death-defying acts. We think of those heroic things. We think of a soldier jumping on a grenade to save his buddies. We think of a firefighter entering a burning building to save a child. We think of a police officer catching a bullet for someone. We think of the astronauts in Apollo 13. We think of the Holocaust survivors or those Congressional Medal of Honor recipients and things like that. But the truth is, it takes enormous amounts of courage for the ordinary person to face daily life. A lot of courage. A lot of our lives are wrapped around these things that come into our lives that really challenge us to our core. And we're told that we're going to face difficulty in life. Those famous words from Jesus there in John 16 and 33, where he said, "In this world you're going to have hardship." And notice he didn't give us an option. He didn't say it was a possibility. But he said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer, for I have conquered the world. And so today, I want us to think some real practical ways and some really important ways of how we can live in our present world with some confidence, how we can live a more courageous life, even when our life, our faith, is under fire. And we can do that without running into a fiery building. We can do that without jumping on a grenade or taking a bullet. But how can we develop this courage? And I think as we look at the life of Christ, we tend to get some great inspiration and some really wonderful insight that we can translate to our walk of faith. Now, what is courage? I remember back in my college days, the professor talking about this time that he gave a five-page theme paper to the class. And the subject, the theme of the paper was to describe an instance in your life that was the most courageous that you'd ever witnessed. And it was a couple weeks and the paper was due, and he got a paper from one of the students. It was five blank pages, and he got an A. That's courage, I suppose, in the eyes of a lot of people. But courage is what it takes to stand up and speak out. And courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen. And that it takes courage to stand and be counted. And courage is almost a contradiction in terms, because it means a strong desire to live, taking the form of a readiness to die. And Jesus displayed that kind of remarkable courage as he's making this jaunt to Jerusalem. And this was to be a real test of his courage. And several times, as you know, Jesus would confront the disciples with what was going to happen. And it didn't seem to sink in to their minds. And he went out on a limb for us, did he not? This was a rescue mission to redeem the world. And you know, it's not a bad thing to go out on a limb, because that's where the fruit is, right? But strangely enough, we know these are the moments for which he was born. And these are the moments for which he had been living. And these are the moments which threatened to break him, but it was actually the moments that made him and really transformed this mission into possible. And so let's think for just a moment as we ponder the Lord making this track. And one of the things that we are confronted with is when there's no way out, you know, you need to let God in. So often we forget that as we're facing daily life, to bring God into our situation, to not take our eyes off of the Lord. There was no way that the Lord was going to avoid the cross. And so he told his disciples here, they were going there, and it says, "And the Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death." There was no way out. And Jesus didn't come to this realization about 15 minutes outside of town. This wasn't something that he decided the day before, but this was something that was decided all the way back when he left his hometown of Nazareth. It was there that he made the decision when he was standing in the Jordan River about to be baptized by John the Baptist. It was there that he went back to his hometown for the first time to preach. He made the presence of God, the serving of God, his obedience to his heavenly Father, obeying the Lord, the very center of his life. Jesus knew there was no way out. There was no way to avoid Jerusalem. Everything had seen here in Matthew's gospel is against the backdrop of him being faithful to the will of God. And sometimes we face things in life, to be sure, that we would simply love to avoid. We have those difficult moments that we confront, those painful situations, and when there's no way out, then we need to do what Jesus did and let God in and obey God's will for our life. Sometimes it takes us getting our back up against the wall before we step out and do something. It's like the story of the fellow that was in prison, and he was going to be executed, and he had the customary last meal. He could request anything that he wanted, and what he requested was a plate full of mushrooms. And the guard was taking this down to him and said, son, you got to be, kidding me. You could have asked for a steak or any kind of entree that you wanted, but you asked for mushrooms. And he said, "Well, always before I wanted to try them, but I was afraid. I was afraid to eat them." How do you prepare for the things for which there is no way out? I tell you, it's to let God in. Don't forget to pray. Don't forget to grab the hand of God and ask him to go on the journey with you. Not only that, but we see here throughout the life of the Lord here that when there was no way around, we follow God through. Follow God through. Sometimes there is no way around a situation. And many of us would soon find another way, and we would rather be a spectator rather than a participant. Now, maybe you're like me. I'm glad to see summer coming with the baseball season getting ready to open. And I got to tell you, every baseball team would like to have a player who could play every position. They'd like to have a player who would never make an error. They'd like to have a player that, could steal any base anytime they wanted. And every time they got up to the plate, they could hit a home run. But the problem is they can't get them to lay their hot dog down and come down out of the stands. We got a lot of great spectators that know how to do the game and know how to play and never make an error. But oftentimes we sit there up in the stands and we do a lot of complaining. And, also in baseball, one day I was watching back in the days when the Dodgers and the Reds were playing, and they had Tommy Lasorda on there, and they asked him a question, and he said something like this. He said, you never want to talk about your problems. He said 80% of people don't care about the problems you have, and the other 20% are glad you got them. And there's probably a grain of truth in that. Jesus knew it was true that there was no way around the cross. He knew he was going to have to face it. And the road he was on led there, and it's the cross that we Christians are challenged to follow after Jesus. There's no path of redemption that can make a detour around it. I saw this week that said the top three reasons that drivers get lost while they're driving, and these are all pretty close. The percentages are just neck and neck. But number one was they get bad directions. And number two was the signs are unclear. But the third one is you want to take a detour. You always feel like there's a better way. There's got to be a way around this construction zone. There's got to be a way, it looks like, on my GPS to get around this problem. And yet people end up 40% of the time getting lost. Jesus had to go there, and he had to face his enemies and the cross, and he told his disciples as they walked that road that he would be delivered into the hands of the Gentiles to be mocked and to be scourged. And Jesus knew there was no way around it, and he decided to be obedient to his heavenly Father. And sometimes we face situations we would like to detour around. We'd like to look for an alternative. We'd like to do it another way. And many times we discover that there's no way around it except to go and follow God through it. And the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 16, stay true to what you believe and be courageous. And then thirdly, let me say to you that as you really survey the life of Christ and everything that's going on here, one thing you can really take note of is when there is no way off, go with God over. And sometimes there is no way we're going to get off the hook. And Jesus knew it was true. There was no way for him to get off the hook. And so he told his disciples they were going to crucify him. And by now, I think things are beginning to sink in a little bit here with those disciples, and there was no way off. But then he added, on the third day, he's going to rise again. I had the great privilege of sitting in church history, and it wasn't one of my favorite classes in seminary, but I studied under a guy whose mentor was the famous Roland Banton that wrote so many books in church history in the Reformation period out of Yale. And it was just incredible to sit there in a class and have the whole world just unfold before your eyes. As class after class, we went century by century and all the details of how the church unfolded and really what brings us to this point today. Fascinating indeed. And there was one story in there that really caught my attention about a guy by the name of Polycarp. Back in the first century, he was 86 years old, and he was told to burn incense and really salute the Roman emperor of the day, and he refused to do it. And he stood there as they were going to burn him at the stake. And at 86 years of age, he said, well, I have served him, and he never did me wrong. How can they asked me to blaspheme my king? And he refused to do it. And when they set the stake on fire, miraculously, it is told the fire didn't even touch him. A miracle. And so they went and got a spear. And before they kill him, he said, let it be known, for he who gave me strength to come to the fire will give me patience to endure the flame. Jesus, no doubt, endured the flame. He knew that there was no way to get off the cross, but there was a way over the cross, and that's what the New Testament calls the resurrection. And sometimes we face things we would like to get off from and not have to bear, not have to endure, but the only way is to go with God over the situation. Maybe you think today you're facing something in life that you cannot handle. Maybe today it's something that seems so overwhelming. Maybe you feel you have a cross that you've picked up that's just too difficult to bear. And when you face those kinds of things, we need to be mindful that in the end we will be victorious, and we need to go with God over the situation. I heard a story, for example, about this new pastor. And he was in this new church, the first church he ever had, and he had two goals. One was to build on to the church. Things were growing, and it was wonderful as people were coming to faith in God. And his second goal was to marry one of the girls in the choir. He had fallen in love. And by the third year, they built onto the church, and he had married that girl in the choir. And you know what happened in year four? The building burnt down, and his wife was killed in a tragic accident. His life was completely crushed. He went through the valley of the shadow of death. He went through a difficult, difficult time. But it led him one day, as the story goes, he found his way back in church. And while he was there, he said something incredible happened. And he said later about that experience, he said, when I went in, all the stars had gone out of the sky. But when I came back out, God had lit them all again. Jesus knew what that final week in Jerusalem was going to be like. He knew what was in store for him. He knew that for all of those who had loved him, the stars would be torn out of the sky, and those people and those forces of Jerusalem were waiting for him there, and they would hang Jesus on the cross. But they did not know that God was putting them there. Those disciples didn't realize that, and they did not know that Jesus had the courage to face it, and they didn't really understand fully that Jesus would rise again. And Jesus said there, if I be lifted up, I will draw all people unto me. And he knew out of that terrible experience waiting for him, it would come the dawn of a new day, the dawn of a new era. And in that, he found his courage. The things which threatened to break Jesus are the very things that made Jesus. His life, his victory is a promise, I say, to all of us here today. When there is no way really there out, we need to let God in. And when there's no way around, we need to follow God through. And when there's no way off, we need to let God help us overcome it. Do you remember that? Maybe you do. That picture on the news there several years ago where that Chinese stick figure fella stood out in front of that convoy there in Tiananmen Square. It was truly one of those moments where you're just kind of in awe as you think about it. Here was this tank convoy being led by one of the world's most militaristic regimes, and the guy stands there, and every way the tank tries to turn to go around, he's standing in front of the tank. It was truly a breathtaking moment. What courage that fella had. And I say to you, that really encouraged more people to stand up than 1,000 diplomatic speeches. He displayed great courage. Since 1953, the World Meteorological Society has been naming those hurricanes that affect the Gulf Coast and the American seaboard. And those names like Harvey, Irma, Sandy, Ike, Katrina, Andrew, Agnes, I mean, those sounds like names that you might hear at a cocktail party back in the 1950s, right? But really, in a different context, these are the names of some of the most devastating storms in history. And I know there's many people in our church and even in this room today that are facing some serious storms in their life. And they're afraid, and rightly so. Those storms might have a different name. Might be cancer. It might be a unemployment issue. It might be a marriage problem. It may be GPA. Maybe something with your kids or your grandkids. And you're thinking, well, where is the Lord with this typhoon on the horizon? Where is God in all of this when the cyclone is about ready to strike? And I want to remind you that he's right in the boat with you. You can put your faith in the one who has lived through it, who has overcome it. Faith doesn't mean that you won't suffer, but it means you'll overcome. And some of those storms are so devastating, as you know, once they go through, you know, they just kind of retire the name and never use it again. It was so bad. People don't want to be reminded of it. And let me just tell you today that whatever storm you're facing, you may do so knowing that the one who is in the boat with you will one day retire all those named and unnamed maelstroms and memories forever. And he'll give you courage to do it. Shall we pray? God, thank you so much for this incredible Gospel of Matthew that really paints a picture of how you faced all the challenges in this world and how you give us courage, how you give us such inspiration for daily living. And Lord, we know there are storms that are brewing today in the lives of your people, and how we ask for the comfort of your Holy Spirit, for the presence of your Son Jesus to be upon the hearts and minds of your people. Be that peace and strength for each and every one here, we pray this day. In Christ's name, amen.